Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Movie Chatter. Yes, we are back. I know we had a hiatus for a while, and I thought we should bring you guys up to speed on what's going on. Unfortunately, Robin is no longer with the show.
Ooh.
Yeah, that would have been really bad and super, super, super sad, too. But that's not the case. Robin is alive and well, doing great. She just had some stuff come up that, you know, this is a volunteer organization here, and life has to come first. She got a little bit busy, and she felt like she couldn't keep up with doing the show for now. But she is still an honorary member of the show. She is still very much a part of the network as far as we are concerned. She is welcome back at any time if she's able to. So, but that is what's going on. Robin will be stepping away from the show. I'm going to say for now.
Yeah.
Because I'm hopefully optimistic.
Time out. Yeah. So you said this is a volunteer show?
Oh.
So I have to give
it's a volunteer organization. I guess that includes the two of you. So it's me and Lou going forward for now, and we're going to kind of reassess having another guest on in the long term. But for tonight, we do have Fred with us. Fred, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing great. Fred, of course, is from the Outer Rim podcast covering Star Wars. And he is from, I guess you're over on Cape Chronicles now too, right?
Yep.
And the Tight Beam?
Yes.
Am I missing one?
I don't think so. I think that's it.
That's it. Okay. You're doing more shows than I am now. That's good. You're taking over.
Hashtag blame Andrea.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yes, and we also have an Andrea.
An Andrea? Am I a wild Pokemon or something?
Well, you know, the Avengers have a Hulk. We have an Andrea.
Yeah, that's actually scarier than a Hulk.
Yes, I think so. Andrea, how are you?
I just walked away.
I am doing fantastic, getting ready for my big move, training my replacement, so it's been interesting.
Oh, no one can replace you.
You know what? I think so. Nobody can replace me.
Yeah. So you should just tell your students, sorry, fend for yourselves.
It's a Hunger Games.
They would be very happy students. I always would have wanted to hear that as a kid. Anyway, so tonight we are bringing back Movie Chatter with a discussion of Avengers Endgame. Now, this is going to absolutely be a spoiler discussion. If you haven't yet seen it, then I would archive this episode somewhere. Do come back and listen to it later after you've seen the movie. It is, I will say that this movie, more so than any movie I've seen in a long time, warrants a lot of discussion. And that's why you're seeing a lot of podcasts and YouTube videos and such cover it and break it apart. We had a spoiler episode on Guardians of the MCU recently, with Tim, Lizzie, John, and they had Mike on as a special guest. And we are actually going to be responding directly to some of the things from that review.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was listening to that and I was dismayed by how many times I had to say to myself, wow, I really agree with Lizzie here. That was disturbing. And how many times I disagreed with Mike and John. But we're going to get to that a little bit later. I just wanted to kind of pad that out a little bit so that people had time to, you know, dive for their MP3 players and hit that pause button or, you know, close the app in your iPhone or whatever. But there will definitely be spoilers for this movie. So, without further ado, let's talk Endgame. I want to know what you guys thought of the movie in a nutshell. We're going to go around one by one. And let's talk a little bit about, I'm sure we all liked the movie, so that's obvious. But tell me a little bit about how you felt coming out of Infinity War. And then how you felt coming out of this movie. And we'll get into the specifics more as we go along. But Lou, what were your thoughts about Avengers Endgame?
I thought it was a fantastic ending to everything they built over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the ride. I thought it was a well done, you know, finish to the story. A lot of times, you know, you get the last part of a trilogy or the last part of a story, and it leaves you wanting more, or leaves you wondering what happened to bits and pieces.
Yeah.
And this one felt so satisfying that I was very content with how they wrapped everything up.
Good. All right, Andrea, how about you?
Well, like you asked like how we felt about Infinity War. I felt gutted.
Okay.
I just did not know what to expect. And then getting out of Endgame, it was not what I expected. I feel like I was a little bit disappointed. Although I liked it, I expected something different.
Okay.
So it's watchable. I will enjoy it every single time I watch it.
It's watchable. Yeah. That's what we're going to title this episode. Avengers Endgame : watchable.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Talk about some clickbait there.
I guess. I felt like I expected more than what I got.
Okay. Well, I'm going to encourage you throughout this episode as we gush about the things we like, please jump in and let us know at which points you felt a little bit disappointed or what you would have liked to have seen done differently.
I can already see the emails coming.
Yeah, I can too. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. Fred, what did you think of coming out of Infinity War versus coming out of Endgame? And what were your thoughts on Endgame?
Well, definitely watchable.
Yeah, I think so too.
So coming out of Infinity War, I felt like Andrea, I felt like just gutted. All these deaths, the snap, everything about it. You felt the plight of the hero and the suspense leading up to Endgame and the year it took to get the movie was a huge buildup. And I was really looking forward to Endgame because of it. If I was to give Infinity War a 9.9 or a 10 out of 10, I would give Endgame probably an 8, 8.5. I really enjoyed it. I think there's a lot of pieces of it that I didn't really like, but overall, I really enjoyed the movie.
Okay. Well, my thoughts, coming out of Infinity War, I enjoyed the movie, but I wasn't all that enamored with it. I think part of it is I read the Infinity Gauntlet series upon which most of this is based way back when it came out in the, I want to say early 90s, very early 90s, late 80s, something like that, and loved it. It still remains one of my favorite comic books of all time. And so I kind of knew, yeah, they're going to do something different with it here, but for the most part, it's basically the same sort of thing. And like all these people crying at the end of Infinity War, I'm like, they're just, you know, they're going to bring it. I mean, if you can snap your fingers and eliminate everybody, then you can snap your fingers and bring them back. I mean, you know what's going to happen. So I didn't really get all that emotionally invested in it. I would say Endgame is one of the few movies in recent years to make me feel something emotionally in regards to a connection with the characters and how they wrapped things up. And I felt much better coming out of Endgame than I did out of Infinity War as far as my enjoyment of the film. I would probably flip it the other way around. I would say for me, Avengers is more like a 7 or 8 and Endgame was closer to like a 9.5. I hesitate to say 10. It's not perfect. There were some issues with it. But I think this is going to be a very interesting discussion. I'm glad that we have two people here who really liked it and two people here who thought it was good, but weren't maybe as impressed as a lot of the rest of the fan community.
Like, okay, so before we continue, if I were to compare it to, and maybe this is like a far-fetched comparison, if I were to compare it to, say, Lord of the Rings, and had its trilogy, I am invested in the characters as much as I am invested with characters in the MCU and stuff like that. I feel like I would gravitate and enjoy and rewatch Lord of the Rings many more times than I would watch Endgame.
Interesting.
Like, there is that difference that I don't think I'll be watching Endgame as much as I would watch other movies.
Okay. That's fair.
You know, I'll make a comment here to her because I didn't really respond back to the whole how I felt coming out of Infinity War.
True.
And I felt kind of cheated about the whole Infinity War thing coming up and ending. And you know, we kind of had some of the stuff maybe not spoiled for us, but you know, if you're into the stuff more than say a casual fan, you'll know, you know, who has contracts renewed, who wants out, who's not coming back to this stuff. So the whole thing of who died and who lived in the first movie, I'm like, well, that's not gonna happen. You know, yeah. So this is gonna get reversed because you knew it was gonna happen. There was no way to get around that. But and then the other thing in terms of the whole overall spectrum of all the movies, I found myself wondering why we had to pack all the gathering of the Infinity Stones into Infinity War and not have spaced that out more throughout the rest of the movies. Because, you know, it's a pretty big task getting all these stones together, right? I mean, it was a huge thing. I mean, it's not like you're going to just say, I want to put a glove together. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it tomorrow. No, it should have taken him 10 years to do that. And it should have had those stones being compiled by him throughout the time. And maybe it was just tougher to do with the way the stories went, but you got bits and pieces of it, and all of a sudden they all came together like that.
You're not saying that they should have made a trilogy instead of a duology. You're saying that along the way, all along, throughout the individual movies, Thanos should have been picking up on.
Did you think that Endgame was the endgame, though? Like, when they were creating Iron Man, when they started this whole entire journey of the MCU. No. Okay, so then maybe that's the reason. But if we could travel back in time, I'm sure they changed
their thought process along the way, what they were going to do with this. And as they saw this, you know, we can really do this. Let's now plan it out. I'm sure when they made, you know, Iron Man, they didn't have Endgame in mind, you know, 10 years down the road.
No, but I think when they made Avengers.
Right.
When you started seeing
Thanos show up in the end credits and this bits and pieces, lay a little more of those seeds along the way and let them grow a little more. Because, I mean, all of a sudden him putting together all these stones into his glove and it happened in a heartbeat. I'm like, okay, it should have taken longer. You know, I think it was over the last four years.
I think that could have been a little bit more like the post-game sort of thing, like the end credits throughout some of the other movies. I think that if you put it in the actual movies, then it becomes a distraction from the individual films. And then you also have to explain more about Thanos. And I think that you shouldn't explain more about Thanos until you get to a movie that really involves Thanos.
Right.
But I also agree with you that it would have been better to have him kind of pick up on the stones along the way. Like if he had.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying you had to put a big sequence in, you know, whichever movie it was with Thanos, but when you started really introducing him as a character and having him around, you could have laid the seeds of, hey, we're picking up these stones along the way.
I was going to say they could have done
like an extra Avengers movie just for that, or at least a tie-in. Even if you want to go dark, they could have had a Thanos-based movie. That would have been interesting.
But wasn't Infinity War the Thanos?
No, that was still more focused on the Avengers. I think I see what Fred's saying. More something that focuses on Thanos' story, the backstory. Yeah. I think that could have tied in really well with Guardians of the Galaxy. I think that would have made a better Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Exactly, because that's where that was all started. I mean, you could have made the end credit scenes, and I'm not saying do another half hour, but do 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Instead of just the little short clips we had.
Yeah. Well, I do have to say, though, that I'm not disappointed with what they did.
No, I'm just thinking it just seemed awful quick.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Well, let's talk about, we talked a little bit about what we expected going forward from Infinity War. Let's talk spoilers and predictions and things like that. And this is the one area where I'm going to pat myself on the back just this once, because I think I did pretty well with the predictions. Though, again, part of it has to do with both production issues plus being familiar with the story. So I can't pat myself on the back too much. I was a little shocked to see that every show that we have coming up from Disney Plus streaming has a dead character in it. Loki is dead, except that we have the alternate version of him.
Yeah, I was going to say
Black Widow is dead. And no, she's not coming back, and we can get into that if you want. A lot of people are like, no, I believe that she can come back, and if Gamora came back, then she can come back. Well, but that was a different timeline. That's a whole thing there. I don't understand why people are confused about it. But and then with Wanda and Vision, Vision did not come back because he was not eliminated as part of the snap. So I was surprised. I was not predicting that each one of those three were going to involve dead characters. I predicted Loki would be brought back. I predicted there would be some kind of involvement with Loki being deceptive at the beginning of Infinity War about his death. But I did predict Iron Man dying. I predicted Captain Marvel rescuing Iron Man at the beginning, though that's kind of a minor thing. I predicted, as many people did, that Falcon would become the new Captain America, and that Captain America would, I thought he would probably step down rather than die. And I kind of hoped that Black Widow would die. But that's it. There were several things I got wrong too. What about you guys? Did you guys go into it with a lot of spoilers? Or any predictions that you kind of guessed in advance that came true?
I don't. When it comes to things that I've invested time and a lot of energy into, I don't like to spoil it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel, like especially this movie or even like Game of Thrones. So I just went with what I felt like was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I actually thought Captain America was going to die. And a lot of the times during the movie, it kind of felt like they were teasing it.
Right.
So I was like, oh yeah, it's coming. Oh no, it didn't. I thought it was either going to be him or Iron Man. I was very surprised about Natasha's death. I think that was one of the hardest ones for me. Even though she's not a character that's very prevalent in the other movies.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Never expected Hawkeye to die, especially because they introduced his family and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Who else? Did not expect Thor to just be the way he was. That's for sure. So yeah, in terms of the deaths, I expected more deaths.
Yes.
Than what I got. And I think that was one of my disappointments, not because I am sick in the head and weird.
yeah, that's a whole different topic.
I don't know. I think I expected something different.
Okay.
So yeah, there was nothing that was spoiled for me going into the movie.
I can say I stayed away from spoilers pretty well for this one. I got one or two little bits here, there, and there were things that I had pretty much already, like the time travel thing. I expected that was going to be a thing. I had that spoiled, okay, big deal, but nothing about actual big plot points, or anything like that. Lou, what about you? Predictions, spoilers?
I didn't have any spoilers going in. I kind of stayed away from that. Like I usually do.
Mm-hmm.
I expected, like Andrew said, I expected more deaths. I thought there was going to be a lot more, devastation.
Yeah.
The Iron Man thing didn't surprise me. I kind of figured that was coming. I kind of figured something would happen with Cap. I thought he would die, but the way they think they ended him was better.
Yeah.
Other than that, I knew, I think we all knew that it was going to get turned around and didn't know how it was going to happen. But, I kind of speculated in my own mind that it was going to be Ant-Man and, the Quantum Realm kind of coming to the rescue. So, yeah.
Okay.
I actually thought that Bucky would get, if anything, the Captain America shield.
I don't know why,
like maybe it is like, maybe it was something that was in the comics and stuff. So I was very surprised that Falcon got it because maybe I just did not know that he, in an alternate comic version, he was given the mantle of Captain America.
Yeah. Yeah. He did wear the mantle for a while. I don't recall whether Bucky did or not. And Bucky physiologically would be better equipped to wield the shield. I mean, the shield is kind of, some guy can't just pick it up and throw it and then catch it again. you know, like Falcon's going to have a difficult time doing with the shield what Captain did physically, but whereas Bucky could pull it off. But Falcon actually was a Captain America in the comics. Fred,
Kind of understand why Bucky wouldn't be, because he does have a controversial past. Well, in the
and
MCU.
Also because he sucks.
Why?
Wow. Because they made him that way.
Oh. Well, wait. Before Fred goes in and says what he needs to say, I do have to give the actor who plays Falcon a huge shout out.
Uh-huh.
Because my friend Kaylin's dad works for in the show Altered Carbon. And he is also filming Altered Carbon. And
Kaylin
received a package from the actor who plays Falcon. And she got a gift for her son, who was just recently born. And I thought that was the cutest thing. So it was really funny because he made a joke about him having like a white nephew. it was really cute and funny. So it kind of made me love the character a lot more.
We should do an Altered Carbon podcast.
Maybe we should. We have somebody in the now.
Yeah. We'll have to maybe work something out.
Okay, going into Endgame, I was completely in the dark. I put up my blinders. I did not look at any spoilers. I did not look in the spoiler channel. I did not listen to anybody talk to me, and I didn't believe anything I heard anyway. Obviously, I did catch some behind-the-scenes spoilers like, Tony's not coming back, whatever. Okay. So obviously he's going to die, or he's going to be written out of the movie somehow.
Right.
I thought he was going to die in the beginning, and I would have been happy if he did, but the way that he did it was even better. Granted, I'm not a huge fan of Captain Marvel in this movie at all, but that's a whole nother discussion.
Yeah. We're going to come back to that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew a lot of characters would need to be reset with new contracts, so I was kind of expecting Cap to go and passing the mantle, and even some other ones. But
Okay, so it sounds like we all expected there would be more deaths, or we at least expected that one of the two major characters between Cap and Iron Man would die. Not entirely surprising there, I think. So let's talk about the characters. I do like the fact that for the most part, this focused on the original Avengers, Captain America, Thor, Hulk. Like, they kind of brought that story full circle. And I'm glad that they left a lot of characters out. Up until the end battle, we don't really see much of Doctor Strange, Black Panther, et cetera. And it's not that I don't like those characters, quite the contrary. It's just, this movie was already full enough, and in order for the characters to have any sort of interesting development, we needed to focus on as few of them as possible, and I'm glad that they focused on the ones that we started with. Now, if I was looking back over these characters, and I realized that there were different thematic elements going through a lot of the characters here, and of course, they're all dealing with a sense of failure in one way or another, and they're handling it differently. Iron Man has survivor's guilt, right? I mean, that's been an ongoing character thread for him through his own movies, as well as through this, ever since the first Avengers movie, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so for him, we really had a very well-developed arc, I think, of redemption as he's working through his failure. Thor, on the other hand, with his sense of failure, he's going in the other direction. Instead of trying to redeem himself, he's
coping. Let himself go.
Yeah. Well, and Thor is the type of, you know, a lot of people, I want to come back to the Thor thing in more depth in just a minute, but for now I'll just leave it at this. Thor has always been kind of the frat boy, jock caricature type. And he doesn't really ever deal with his emotions in any of the movies, and so now he has to. So for him, it's more about learning how to cope. Like, Tony Stark has always expressed his emotions, and he's trying to find redemption. Thor is just trying to learn how to deal with what he feels. So there's kind of a coping theme there. Nebula isn't one of the originals, but she is kind of prominent in this one. She's dealing with, she's already kind of redeemed herself. She's come over to the good guys, but she still feels a lot of guilt over her past. Hulk in all of this has found balance and peace. And he's found balance in a very literal sense too. We've got the combination of Bruce Banner and the Hulk together in one body.
Coexistent.
Yeah, exactly.
Symbiotic relationship.
Right. And that's something a lot of people apparently didn't realize this, even in the Guardians of the MCU podcast, this had to be brought up. But that harkens back to Peter David taking over the Hulk comic books back in the early 90s. The main difference there, though, that version of the Hulk in the comic books with the combined Bruce Banner Hulk was kind of a jerk. he was kind of a dick.
Like Bruce Banner was a jerk?
Well, the Bruce Banner Hulk
combination
in the comic books, he was kind of like more of a short-tempered Tony Stark.
Oh, okay.
This is much more a balanced Zen Hulk, which I thought was really interesting. And we never really see Hulk physically do much in this film. There's not like a big battle scene that he's involved in, really. Captain America has always been very emotionally balanced, but he's also always had kind of a theme of loss. He's lost Peggy Carter. He's lost his world. He's lost his place in time, et cetera. And he's kind of recovering from that. And you see, even in the therapy session that he does early on in the film, he's telling people, you got to move on. And so his theme kind of comes full circle in that his absolute sense of selflessness ends up winning himself something for himself.
So does that mean we should move on?
Well, that's a whole nother question. And that's something that they were trying to figure out in the movie too, which I thought was a really interesting thematic proposal there. Yeah. And then of course you have Black Widow and Hawkeye both kind of trying to cope with loss in their own way and finding purpose. I think Ant-Man was trying to find value as a hero, whereas Black Widow and Hawkeye knew they were heroes, but they were trying to find purpose. Like, why am I here? And I think Ant-Man felt like he knew why he was here. He was just trying to contribute in a way that made his purpose valuable. So I thought it was kind of interesting to see that we, in an ensemble film like this with so much going on, we did have individual story arcs that either went somewhere in this movie or were the culmination of having gone places in the previous movies. So I
think like a lot of characters do get closure in this movie.
Yes. And I liked that. You guys have any thoughts on, putting the Thor thing on pause for a moment, any thoughts on the character development either here or throughout the entire series? Are there any particular character arcs that you liked?
I really enjoyed a lot of the heaviness that was brought in the first, let's say, quarter of the movie, going through the survivor's guilt, going through the coping, the guilt, the recovering from the loss, everything from everyone, because we all in real life go through this.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't want to say it's neat, but it's relatable to see our heroes go through the same things that us real people go through on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. So it makes the story more relatable, more real feeling. Now the beginning part, do I feel it dragged on a little bit too long? I think they could have cleaned that up a bit.
Yeah. The pacing was rough.
The pacing was a little rough. I remember sitting next to my buddy in the movie theater and we were both looking at our watch at the same time going, okay, let's get on with this.
Oh, wow. I didn't feel quite that strongly about it. And I guess I knew, I had heard from other people. I saw it the week after it came out and I had heard that the first act was a little slow. So I guess I was prepared. But yeah, it could have.
Yeah, I never looked at my watch to say, you know, hey, man, this is really getting slow here. But I did. I was aware of it in the first half. I'm like, okay, come on, let's just get on to the good stuff here and let's figure out what's going on here.
Now, with being early to the movie and 25 minutes of credits and commercials, that probably didn't help. So it's not all the movie's fault, but hey.
But you know, I can't think of much that I would have cut there. I mean, it all worked and it all mattered.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It'd be tough to find a single piece to cut out of the movie.
Yeah.
But just, it was too long.
Okay.
In my opinion.
By the time we got to the end, though, I didn't feel it was too long. I just thought the beginning started too slow.
Yes, that's exactly my point. I'm just talking about that beginning scene where it was setting the stage for everyone individually.
To be honest, I was very confused. As soon as they cut off Thanos' head, I was like, okay, we're done. the end. Game over. But it was really it was really funny because I don't think some people expected that. And a mother got out of the movie theater with her child and never came back because of that scene. So she didn't end up seeing what happened and what transpired.
How young was her child?
He was like, I would say like 7.
I don't think I would have taken a 7-year-old to this.
Yeah. And what was this? This was rated PG-13, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So I thought it was so funny.
There you go. I mean, yeah.
Because we were debating whether or not to let my son go see it. Because, you know, there are some pretty strong themes of loss and death and things like that. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Well, I think, though, that there it is an aspect of it that was done intentionally. We are supposed to feel that things aren't moving very fast, that the whole world has just kind of ground to a halt.
Yeah, that's true.
So as I was sitting there thinking, okay, this is going really slow, I thought, but aren't we supposed to feel that? Aren't we supposed to feel that everything has just ground to a halt and that the world just doesn't exist anymore? Like, people exist, but they're just all lost.
They definitely got the weight of that world issue across in that first quarter, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if they would have hit the ground running too much, it might have glossed over that sense a little bit. Go ahead.
I was going to say, how did you like the Hulk Banner? Like, was it a surprise to you coming from the previous Marvel movies, the previous Avenger movies, and then seeing Hulk in a totally different light?
I thought we were probably going to get to this soon anyway. And I guess for me, Thor Ragnarok focusing almost exclusively on the Hulk and then Infinity War focusing exclusively on Banner. I thought that if they didn't do it in Endgame, they were going to do it right at the beginning of Phase 4. Like, I kind of saw that this was coming and I'm happy with it. I think that. I understand that people like the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde aspect of the Hulk and the duality of that character. But then I also kind of like the idea that the character is still kind of trying to come to terms with that duality simultaneously, too, because I think a lot of us, when we have feelings of duality, I mean, we're still the same person. We're not Jekyll or Hyde. We are ourself. But still sometimes feel that duality. So from a philosophical or thematic standpoint, I like the character. And then plus, I like Bruce Banner as a character, but then you have to remove him from a lot of the bigger scenes in the films because he'd die, like he'd get squished like a grape. So then you have to put the Hulk in, and then the Hulk is just a tank. And I've just never really liked the grunt characters in fiction in general.
I really appreciated it in Endgame. Don't get me wrong. I just think it was a big leap from the previous movie to this one and how much change the Hulk and Banner had together.
There were a lot of people who didn't feel comfortable with the suddenness of the change and the lack of explanation. It didn't bother me at all. And I'm like, well, he had a 5-year gap and, you know, he kind of got sort of zen and figured it out. Okay, good for him. Like, to me, it didn't faze me, but you hear a lot of complaints about that aspect. It was not explained very well.
How about Lou or Andrea? How do you feel about that?
I felt like it just didn't fit in with what we had already seen with Banner. I felt the same way.
Yeah, I agree.
See, I spent most of my time with the Hulk being combined.
Hashtag not my banner. I'm just kidding.
Gosh, don't start. So to me, this was always my Hulk.
Hashtag my Hulk?
I guess it didn't bother me. No hashtags. This is a hashtag free podcast.
Hashtag free.
hashtag free. What about Captain Marvel? I have not seen the Captain Marvel movie, and my understanding is production-wise that her scenes in this movie were filmed before the scenes in her own movie.
Yes.
That is right. Yeah.
And I kind of felt like one of the reasons they rushed to try to get her in at the end of phase three before Endgame was because she was going to be one of the big factors in Endgame. I figured it was going to be time travel, may or may not involve Doctor Strange, was definitely going to involve Ant-Man in the quantum realm, and was going to involve Captain Marvel because she's the big, you know, she's the new heavy. Now that the Hulk isn't so much a cosmic character, she is going to be the one who can stand up against Thanos. And we don't really see her except in the very beginning. And then at the very end, she throws a few punches and then is gone.
I think Captain Marvel is too overpowered to be in this movie at all. I don't think she should have been involved. To be honest, I would have rather have seen a Black Widow movie in place of the Captain Marvel movie and get more backstory with her and to make her death more meaningful, and just leave Captain Marvel out of it.
Hmm.
I think if we had seen a Black Widow movie first, it would have made her death even more meaningful. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like the Captain Marvel character. I thought that her movie was done really well. I thought her being in this movie was appropriate, I suppose. But you're right, Fred, she's very overpowered. And it did kind of make me laugh at the end when, you know, they had that moment towards the end of the movie where it was all the female characters kind of got behind her. You know, we're going to take on Thanos.
Was so silly.
That and at bugged first, me.
Like, it did. It bugged me because I'm like, really, we're going there now? And this, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. And then I'm thinking to myself, Captain Marvel doesn't need your help. It's like, you saw her take out the ship. It's like, for Christ's sake.
Well,
I mean, did you see
Mantis is there? This,
you know, yeah.
And
yeah,
I saw Mantis, and I'm like, what the heck are you going to do?
I'm glad they didn't go on that whole storyline of the women are going to save the day, because it didn't make sense in that part
but
of the storyline.
But even just having that scene there, it was kind of like, we matter too. And it's like, well, then actually matter. Like when they were doing things in the movie, that demonstrated that it didn't matter whether you were male or female, you were being effective. But when you huddle them all together as kind of a side note, then you're making them merely a side note. You're actually diminishing them, in my opinion. And, yeah, and it's kind of like, hey, yep, we're going to take a moment to demonstrate that we matter too. And then it becomes a token gesture instead of just integrating them into the flow of everything else. Like when Captain Marvel did come in and fight, I didn't think of her as a female. I thought of her as Captain Marvel.
Right, right.
I think that that's one of the things that in movies and stuff like that, not all of them, but lately, it's just kind of like, it's not a subtlety.
Right.
That was thrown for a reason, and it did bother me too. As a woman, as a female, it did bother me, and I was like facepalming when I saw that pan out, because I knew what they were doing, and it does not make me feel any better. It makes me feel a little bit worse, because I don't need the spotlight on my gender to make me feel good.
Right.
Just seeing the females fighting. Like, just seeing the women fighting, that's enough for me to make me feel proud of whatever gender I am. It doesn't matter. Right. Well,
entire team taking on Thanos. Now, if I can take a step back, and coming from a person who was not into the comics as a kid, one thing I needed to have before this movie was more details on Thanos, because I'm like, how is this guy this powerful? We had no indication in the movies, at least, that Thanos is this all-powerful guy that can just beat the crap out of anybody who's up against him. Right.
That's a good point. Yeah, we didn't really have any sense of the power scale.
Right. Because I'm like, okay, so he's able to take on, you know, Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, you know, Captain Marvel. They're all taking it on, and he's just beating the crap out of them. I'm like, okay, so
for those who don't know, he is the Marvel analog for Darkseid from the DC universe. In fact, I believe they were both created by Jim Starlin. If you're familiar with Silver Surfer at all, Silver Surfer has a hard time taking him on. Like, they can go toe to toe, but Silver Surfer walks away pretty banged up. Like, he's
right.
He's got it rough. Like, he should go check himself into an ER and maybe get some scans done and then take some medicine and, you know, see his general practitioner the next day. But Thanos is like way, way, way up on the cosmic scale. Like, I'm surprised Captain Marvel did as well against him as she did. I kind of felt that was more fan service-y than actually literally representative of power levels from the comic books.
And I kind of get that, but the fact that you have to explain that to us makes it that they yeah. failed in creating this character and giving
a win. I think they should always make characters where you have to come to the Random Chatter Network to learn more and to have us educate you. We are vital and integral to the MCU.
There you go.
As we're sitting here, I should point this out. Oh. I know I normally avoid doing this. On the video call here, I'm wearing a Star Wars shirt because I didn't get the memo, but Fred is wearing the Flash. Lou is wearing Green Lantern. And Andrea is wearing Wonder Woman. I think you guys all conspired against me. I would have worn a Batman shirt.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
The Justice League.
Yeah.
So I was going to say that, and this is something that even Fred had concerns about, was that this was all going to be a Captain Marvel saves the day kind of situation.
I was glad it wasn't. I was worried about that.
I was really happy that it wasn't. I was really happy that it was a main focus on the original Avengers. So that was good for me.
Yeah. Yeah. That was one prediction I had that I'm very glad I was very wrong about. So.
It's not that we hate women.
It's not a woman thing.
No.
Here's the thing.
People will interpret it that way. And
I want to talk about frustrating. This. Because I feel like I don't like some of these characters, and this is going to come up again. I guess we can bring it up now about Black Widow, but, and so with Captain Marvel, I have not seen the Captain Marvel movie. I've heard mixed things about it. So I don't have any particular connection to her character yet. And I'm glad she didn't come in and save the day, not because she's a female character, but because she's this overpowered cosmic character. And then it kind of diminishes the abilities of everyone else. Black yes. Widow, I'm glad they killed her off. And I know that's going to piss a lot of people off, but hear me out on this. She comes along in Iron Man 2 as kind of this kick-ass ninja-like character, and that's great. And I liked her there. Then the power scale started to get a little bit higher. Now we're dealing with, you know, gods from Asgard and Loki and things like that. And it's like, okay, she can kind of hold her own a little bit. And then we start getting into space. And then we're getting into Thanos and Infinity Stones. And it's like, what is she going to do? Come up and like hit him with some sticks? Like, she can't do anything as far as her as a superhero. They never really utilized her very much as a spy or a tactician. There were some throwbacks to that, but never actively used her in that way in any of the movies. I feel like they've kind of wasted her as a character. And then she began to feel more and more like the token female. And then they weren't even putting her on like some of the movie posters, and people had to go point out, hey, she's an Avenger too. You need to include her. And it always kind of felt to me, and to be fair, I felt the same way about Hawkeye.
Yeah. I was just going to mention
Hawkeye. So again, it's not a female thing, but I feel like at any moment I'm going to get called out and say, well, you just don't like any of the female characters, which is not true because I love Gamora as a character. And I've grown to like Nebula as a character. I even kind of like Mantis as a character, but she definitely has no place in this movie. I couldn't believe, like, when I saw her stand behind the other characters, I'm like, yeah, just keep walking backwards, lady. I don't think anybody cares how the other people around you feel, and that's about all you can.
Exactly. I was just thinking that.
They're very angry. Yeah, we get it.
Yeah. Are they? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I'm just thinking about this as you're talking too, more, Eric. In the scene in Infinity War, when they almost had the gauntlet off his hand, Mm-hmm. And it was what? It was Iron Man, it was Spider-Man, it was Star-Lord, Mantis. Who else was there?
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange.
Spider-Man.
So, you know, to talk about his power level and how powerful he was, that group seemed to have that pretty well in hand until Star-Lord came and screwed things up.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, so it then seeing that him, as powerful as he was, fighting Cap, Iron Man, and Thor in Endgame, I'm like, wow, he ate his Wheaties this morning because he's a different guy than he was last movie.
Well, yeah. To be fair, I guess it was Mantis that kind of made the difference in that moment in Infinity War.
Yeah, that's what kind of put him under. But to get to that point, though, I mean, he just seemed like in this movie, he was just such a, you know, a big Friend bad trend. That he couldn't do it. Yeah, he could do no wrong. It was like, you know, I'm looking at Thor laying on the ground. I'm going, dude,
he did.
It's like you're normally a lot stronger than this. You know, it's like,
OK, yeah, fair enough.
Even to hit him with lightning.
Yeah.
Like that's the Emperor's move.
That's drunk.
That's lightning. What we need. Emperor Palpatine versus Thanos.
No, that's drunk lightning. There's a difference.
Did you guys see the meme right after that came out where it was Thanos and the Emperor? Thanos is on top saying, yeah, I'm the big bad villain of 2019. And down the bottom, it's the Emperor. And his comment was, hold my beer.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's cute. Like,
yeah, it's good.
That's nice.
All right. Well, while we're still on the topic of characters, and then we'll get into the moments from the movie, let's talk about Thor a little bit. And I want to preface this by saying that about 55 minutes into the Guardians of the MCU Avengers Endgame review, they start talking about Thor. And Mike expressed a concern. Apparently, I was not aware of this because I stayed off of social media entirely up until seeing Endgame. So I was unaware that there was a whole problem that people had with this. But people had issues about the way they felt the movie handled PTSD and depression, specifically because it was represented in the Thor character and there was fat shaming and the alcohol and things like that. And I guess the fat shaming thing was a big deal. And I heard about this. The first time I heard about it was in this podcast episode. And I'm like, wait, what? I didn't get the fat shaming thing, I guess. And I say this as someone who I used to be about 350 pounds. So I have personally been fat shamed. And I still didn't walk away from it with that. I walked away from it more like he's got a beer gut and people have noticed it because it's a change. And that is how he dealt with his PTSD. But we also see Tony Stark deal with his PTSD, and it's anger, and it's lashing out at his friends and loved ones, and it's social isolation, and it's avoiding his work, and things like that. So first of all, it's not the only representation of PTSD in the movie. And it's also not been the only representation of alcoholism in the MCU. And I see it as perfectly consistent with Thor's character. Again, Thor has always been kind of the frat boy sort of, you know, doesn't express his emotions and stuff like that. And I can totally see him sitting alone at a bachelor pad somewhere with some of his, you know, equivalent of his college buddies sitting on a couch surrounded by a bunch of empty beer bottles playing Fortnite.
Well, I can he technically was.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I can see that. Like, to me, that's not a big jump in the character. And then the other, before you chime in here, we'll come back to this in just a second. But the other thing was that he turned into comic relief, which again, I've also seen him do that quite a bit through the MCU as well. So, but Lou, what were you going to say?
No, I think it's consistent with his character as well too. And I think that it's also proof that we can't do anything that's no matter what is done in the movie, somebody's going to take offense to it. And there's going to be an uprising from a subset of whatever population group it is that feels, you know, pointed out or belittled or, you know, they're making fun of me type thing. I'm sure that wasn't their intent. In fact, you know, if I was the kind of guy that talked during a movie, I want to lean over to my wife and say, hey, look, I got the body of a god. like Thor. I got that beer gut going on, you know, and I'm like, yeah, it I don't know. It just didn't seem like, it was something he was, that should be.
What's the character's name? Falstag or something? The heavy set one of the trio of Asgardians that JMS tweeted recently that he turned into. And I can kind of see a lot of people saying he turned into that character who's just the drunken oaf. But like, he wasn't obese, he wasn't huge, he had a beer gut. So most of really the guys funny. In the audience had a beer gut.
Yeah, so it's really funny because my two best friends, one of them likes Captain America, the other one likes Loki, and then Thor has been always like eye candy for me. Mm-hmm. So Loki comes back. My friend Lydia is like the happiest girl on earth.
Uh-huh.
Amanda gets Captain America and all that stuff. And what do I get? Drunk beer belly Thor. My friends turned to me and they started howling because they knew how devastated I was that I wasn't going to be seeing the body of a god. I was going to be seeing funny. This. So
I'm laughing at you now on the inside. Yes, that's funny.
Yeah. But I don't know. People take things too far. I was fine with it.
Listen,
the guys rub their stomachs.
So they've said for years now, and it's changed a little bit recently, and I'm glad for that. But for a while, there was a thing people would say that the two groups that are still safe to make fun of in Hollywood are Nazis and fat people. and that was true for a long time, and I'm glad that's no longer the case. Again, I used to be very, very heavy. I had to have bariatric surgery. I get it. I was there. I was one of those people who have been fat shamed, who've been embarrassed to go to a swimming pool, who've been embarrassed to go outside sometimes. I don't want that to be a thing. I just don't think that it was a problem in this movie. I don't think that that's the direction they went. Right. With it. And yeah, it was a visual gag a couple of times, but it was a couple of times. I mean, I would say they made fun of the alcohol thing more than the fat thing.
But that's also in Thor's character to drink. It was in the first movie when he's a Norse god.
That's all they do.
Exactly.
And I didn't see it as making fun of it either. It wasn't like they were making light of it. I mean,
no, they weren't making fun of alcoholism. In fact, the MCU has treated alcoholism much more seriously than any other fan franchise that I'm aware of. I mean, the whole thing with Tony Stark.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm sorry to Mike and John from the GMCU podcast, but and I think for them it was more the comic relief thing. So to talk about that a little bit, though, they needed a little bit of lightheartedness in this movie. Rocket wasn't really doing it, and I don't think it would have worked with Rocket. Who else have you got? I mean, you didn't have Drax.
I have Ant-Man.
Ant-Man, there were some comedic moments with Ant-Man, too. So they used him, but they used Thor as well. And they've used Thor in the past for comic relief. That's not a new thing. And I don't just mean Thor Ragnarok.
Talk about anything without someone getting offended.
Right.
That's just how it is.
Yeah, Mike and John.
No, not Mike and John. I don't want to get in trouble.
Oh,
I don't
want to
be fired from Cave Chronicles. I'm just saying that people will interpret things differently.
And that's okay.
And that's completely fine. So if Mike and John feel this way about the character, I'm not going to discredit what their beliefs are because I feel differently. I can completely see their side of the story.
I mean, it's okay.
It's okay to be wrong.
Oh my God. I did not say that. So if you guys want to email Lou, then you guys can go right.
No, that was Fred.
You can email Lou at Andrea@randomchatter.com. All right. Well, let's move into the moments from the movie. One thing I kind of skipped over here mainly because I forgot most of these things. I tried to make a list and then I lost sight, but there were a lot of throwbacks and cameos to either other movies or a lot of comic book references. For example, Rocket Raccoon's outfit. This was his traditional Guardians outfit from the comic books. We had Peter David's version of the Combined Hulk. We already talked about that. We've got Captain America doing the Hail Hydra thing, which recently there was a whole storyline about him actually being an undercover Hydra agent.
Yep.
People are saying that there was a possible Namor reference regarding the underwater earthquake thing. I think that's maybe a bit of a stretch. And then I think somebody in the Guardians of the MCU movie misquoted what was said. It wasn't that they said that they handled it in Wakanda. It said that we handle it the same way we always handle it. We don't handle it. But anyway, but there were a lot of throwbacks to comic book things that were very inside baseball that most people wouldn't get, but the true fans or the comic book veterans would pick up on. So that was kind of nice. But
it's very interesting because I was talking to my brother about it. They actually made a reference to a video game that my brother and I love. It's Ratchet and Clank.
Oh, okay.
When Rocket is actually fixing, I think, the machine, he has a wrench that's similar to the one that Ratchet uses. And I think it's Tony who makes a reference to the video game. So I thought that was a really a unique thing.
Okay. There was a reference to Rocket that I didn't get. Maybe that was the moment. I did love the Build-A-Bear reference though. That was cute.
Yes. Yeah,
that was good. All right. So I'm going to kind of lightning round through the movie recap here. And I want you guys to hop in and stop me at any point that you want to kind of talk about a moment or anything. So the movie starts. We've got the Hawkeye thing with his family and them disappearing. It was sad. And I think that it added to Hawkeye's character a little bit. And it certainly explained his going off the grid later on. Which I'm not really sure what purpose that played in the overall scheme of things. For those who don't know, there's I guess he became a character called Ronin for a while in the comic books and went off and did exactly that sort of thing. And maybe that was just a reference to that and a way to kind of work him into the movie somehow.
Well, that was also his way of coping. And he does say it in the movie. Do they live and my family does not?
Yeah. So, he took the survivor's guilt in a much more aggressive, proactive way, as opposed to a retreat into himself that Tony Stark did. And that's another interesting way in which they show different ways that people cope with these sorts of things. I'm just like, they did that, but then it didn't go anywhere once they recruited him back into the team again. So
we've
got him. We've got the team kind of reuniting and regrouping in the introduction of Captain Marvel to the team, and they want to go off and kill Thanos. So they find Thanos. Thanos is basically at peace now. He's got a garden. It kind of harkens back to his own argument that he's not really evil. He's just misunderstood and misguided, perhaps.
Or a complete sociopath.
Or a complete sociopath. Yeah. So they kill him. And then we've got the fast forward 5 years later, Ant-Man comes back. I don't know what to call this new character. Mighty Mouse has taken. I thought, the Scarlet Scamperer, but it doesn't really roll off the tongue and he's not red. He's just like a normal rat who kind of walks across this thing in the van in the storage unit, hits the button, and then poof, Ant-Man pops out because
I was like, what are you talking about?
The mouse. He is the whole reason the movie happened, Andrea.
I was like, are you watching and retelling the same story I watched?
Andrea, the entire movie depended on the mouse hitting that button. If the rat had not hit that button, we would not have had Ant-Man pop out of the machine from the end of the post-credit scene from Ant-Man and the Wasp, and he would not have been able to introduce the quantum realm as a time travel thing. They would not have been able to go back and get the Infinity Stones, come back, put everything right, defeat Thanos once and for all. It's all because of that rat.
if you're going there,
yep,
we can just blame this all on Star-Lord. If he hadn't screwed things up in Infinity War, they would have the gauntlet off, finish the whole deal, and done.
No, I'm with you there too. And then this rat would have never become the superhero that he did.
Captain Marvel could have come to Earth, flown around the Earth so fast that it goes backwards for 5 years.
Yeah. Could have
happened.
And unwound history.
Yes, Superman.
Yeah. And then made a really, really bad movie.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, so I think that that was a requirement. And I felt bad.
All right. So,
I'm just saying.
No Mighty Mouse then. Okay, fine. So Scott Lang comes back. He finds his daughter, who is, quote, so big now. Ironic coming from a guy that can be as big as he is.
Oh, my God.
Talk about fat shaming.
Yeah, yeah, I know, right?
No, height shaming.
Height shaming.
Large shaming.
He didn't say tall, he said big.
That's true. Never call a woman big. I've learned that. I'm kidding. I've never been that stupid.
I was going to say, tell us a story about
I have no story on that one. I've made some mistakes in my life, but that's never been one of them.
Good.
So anyway, Scott Lang comes back. He finds the Avengers. He suggests that there might be a way to fix things through time travel, but they need some smarter people. So building a time machine, they go find Tony Stark. Tony Stark now has a family and a daughter and wants nothing to do with any of this.
I really loved that they introduced his daughter. I think that that really pulled my heartstrings in his direction. And just the very end when she's talking about wanting cheeseburgers, I started crying. Yeah. I was like, I'll get you all the cheeseburgers you want because daddy's dead. And when she's like, I love you 3000, I thought it was the cutest thing.
Yeah.
They really just laid on my maternal.
And of course, the cheeseburgers thing is also a throwback to back when Tony Stark was in captivity and he got out. The first thing he wanted was a cheeseburger.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
I really liked what they did with Tony Stark. I would say throughout the entire series, he was never one of my favorite characters, and I think that they really put good use of his character into all of these films, and I'm very content and satisfied with the way they handled him. I mean, really, he has always been, he and Captain America have always been the story arcs for all of this so far, and it was nice to see them really flesh out the rest of his character and make it as impactful as they did. And he's also very, like we said earlier, a very relatable character. He made a lot of stupid mistakes, but like, we get it. We've been there. So yeah, seeing the introduction of his family was really nice. And of course, he tells them no. So they go find Hulk in the diner. And, you know, he's got his little Hulk fans and the selfie and all that. That was kind of cute.
I thought that whole entire moment when everybody doesn't know who Ant-Man is was a callback to how much Tim hates him. And I think that the MCU actually heard Tim's roar about how much he hates Ant-Man. And they were like, we're going to do this just for Tim.
Tim must have loved that.
Oh, probably.
I don't get it. I like the Ant-Man character. And I like the Ant-Man movie. I didn't care for the second one, but I like that. Tim and I can fight over that one. So they get Hulk back. Tony Stark has a discussion with Pepper about the fact that he thinks he's cracked the time travel thing because, you know, he can't let it go because he's still got the picture of Spider-Man and that still bugs him. Again, the survivor's guilt. Mm-hmm. And he says, I should just take all of this and dump it into the middle of the lake and let it go. And she says, but would you be able to rest? Yeah. And I didn't catch this. Lizzie did in mentioning Guardians of the MCU. Then at the end of the movie, Pepper tells him you can rest now.
Yeah, she does.
So that was kind of touching. So they build a prototype. They figure out that they have to put Ant-Man through time. They can't put time through Ant-Man. they have to clean his suit.
They need the hot tub time machine.
Yeah.
Back to the future.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
I thought that was great.
That was great. And they kind of, I liked how they handled that though. They kind of brought up the whole meta argument of, you know, listen, you can't do this, or can you do this, or has it been decided yet, or do we know how it works in movies? And
I thought that was a really fun way that they did it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done.
And yet they didn't necessarily break any particular theory in doing any of it either.
Nope.
So, all right. So they get the time machine thing figured out and they split up to go get the different time stones. Now we've got New York for the space, mind, and time gems. We've got Asgard for the reality gem. And then we've got Morag and Vormir for the power and soul gems. So the big one, I think, as far as on screen time was New York in 2012. And this is set during the first Avengers movie. We've got Captain America, Iron Man, Ant-Man, and Hulk, who has to bash some things up. So,
I hate stairs. That's me every single time the elevator doesn't work at my apartment.
Yeah, that part was funny.
I got hit in the face by a Hulk.
Yeah. But I liked the kind of, I'll bash things. I'm angry. See me dent a car. Look at this. So he goes and confronts the Ancient One in a surprisingly peaceful confrontation from the Hulk. And
That was very interesting, I thought. I thought it was a great way to do that.
Yeah, I agree. And I thought it was a great choice of character to use him to do it. Then what else do we have? We've got them going into the Avengers Tower with Loki at the end of the Avengers movie, and them trying to get both the Tesseract and the So the Time Stone was the one that the Ancient One had. So they were trying to get the Mind Stone and the Space Stone.
You know, maybe this is just my puny little mind not comprehending it from before, but for some reason, I didn't put two and two together. The Mind Stone was in the
Staff.
Staff, yeah,
yeah.
Because after I'm thinking about this, I'm going back in my head. I'm kind of looking through everything. I'm like, where was the Mind Stone?
Yeah.
Wait, and I look it up. I'm like, oh, the Mind Stone was in the Staff. Oh,
for some reason, I didn't know either.
I never caught on to that because I was thinking the. Because I think that because they were both blue, and I'm thinking it was the Tesseract. It was like the essence of, and something. I was confused with that.
That one is a little bit confusing, and I think part of it also is the fact that back when we saw the staff, it wasn't referred to by that reference because we didn't know anything about the Infinity Gauntlet at that point.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, it was the Mind Stone in the staff, and then the Tesseract, which was handed over to S.H.I.E.L.D. along with Loki. Mm-hmm. And so you've got the confrontation in the elevator.
Yeah.
In which we were all thinking that we were going to get a throwback to not Civil War, Captain America, Winter Soldier.
Yes.
Right. And then we get Cap versus Cap.
That was great.
That was fun.
Yeah. That was pretty good. Yeah.
I could do this all day. Yeah. I know. That was pretty cool.
America's ass. I really thought that if they were going to do a reference to that at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Now you have America's ass.
Oh, that would have been cute.
Or you are America's ass.
Oh. Hey, and what about Cap's language in this movie?
What about it?
Yeah, he used some more colorful language than we're used to from Cap, which I guess is another aspect of character development. You could argue that he's starting to acclimate himself to modern times a little more, but
so he's being ruined by our timeline.
Exactly, yeah. He's being corrupted. So
corruption
you've got
at its finest.
Iron Man and Ant-Man going after the Tesseract, and oops.
Yeah, you had one job.
Yeah. So what do you think? Do you think that with the Loki TV series, we're going to get this Loki and taking the Tesseract? So. And
it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That would. So that is basically the space stone, which means he can jump around through space. I've heard that time travel is supposed to have something to do with the Loki series, but I don't know how he's going to do that because that's not what that stone does.
Right.
So maybe there's going to be some other element going on there. So then we've got, in order to try to kind of correct that, they still have to get the Tesseract. So Captain America, they've broken so many different timelines now. They created a new timeline for that. Now they have to create yet another new timeline for the Tesseract one. Mm-hmm. So that one will be splintered twice now. They go back to the 40s. There's an interaction between Tony and his dad and a little bit of a reference to Captain America and Peggy Carter. And I have to say, I've got a soft spot for the whole Peggy Carter thing with Captain America and always have. But it has nothing to do with me having a crush on Haley Atwell.
Sure.
Tony and his dad, though, I wasn't really feeling it.
Why?
I don't know. I thought that played out pretty well.
I think it was done well. Yeah, I think this is a me thing. I don't think the movie was broken. I think the Howard Stark character in the MCU, he's a jerk. Like, I don't have any sympathy for him. So why Tony would want to get closer to him or get anything from him, I get it, because he wants validation from his father.
Well, I think it's because he's also a father now.
There's also that as well. Yeah, now he can relate to that.
He never had, so. Yeah.
Intellectually, I understand it. I'm not connecting to that.
I got the same attitude from both Tony and Howard. So they're playing like that same chip on their shoulder kind of nice guy, but bad guy, but nice guy attitude.
Yeah. Like, I'm a good guy, but I'm also better than everyone else.
It kind of felt like the whole Back to the Future thing where he's, you know, meeting his father and, you know, it felt very similar to that.
Oh, I didn't even get that. Yeah. Yeah. Now that you mention it, it does.
Even down to some of the language and how he talks and, you know, what are you saying? And he, you know, make reference to, something else he said, you know, instead of slang from 2019.
Yeah. Well, moving on from the daddy issues, let's talk about mommy issues. We've got Asgard from 2013. This takes place during the second Thor movie, Thor Dark World. We've got Thor and Rocket Raccoon. For the record, the footage of Natalie Portman, according to IMDb, that's archive footage.
Oh, interesting.
A lot of people were like, oh, wow, Natalie Portman said she'd never do it again, and they brought her back for it, and she agreed to do it. No, it was just archive footage.
Yeah, I had no idea, which was really cool.
Yeah.
Mm.
So
in this whole sequence didn't do anything for me.
I never liked Thor. Interesting.
I like Thor, but I didn't like this Thor. I'm like, no.
Of course.
Not. What do you mean, of course?
Well, no, I'm with Luke. See, Thor has always been
the character. I didn't think it was.
Everything about Thor has been hyperbole. When he's being a badass, he is like overdoing it. When he's being confident, he's overdoing it. Now he's being whiny and sad, and he's overdoing it. And it's, again, I think it's perfectly in character for Thor, but everything, I mean, this guy can't go to the bathroom without overdoing it. Like, it's just everything is hyperbole.
You don't want to go in there.
Yeah. Exactly.
Especially after all that beer.
Right. So I kind of felt like this scene was
I enjoyed him getting that closure to be with his mother. And it was really interesting that his mother knew.
Yes.
What was to come. I thought that was really interesting.
I liked it. I appreciated it. And it was definitely the moment where Thor could kind of get in the right headspace for the rest of the movie. Yeah. It was a meaningful moment, and I appreciate it. I didn't have the feels, as people seem to like.
No,
to say
I that. Didn't mm-hmm. have the feels for that.
Yeah.
And then her ending comment, I think it's time to eat a salad or something to that extent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do Asgardians even know what salads are?
They must.
Salad is what my food eats. I think it's the same there.
Right. Exactly. The salad is what they put the big roast pig on top of on the platter. It's all that's that right. Leafy stuff around the edge.
Garnish.
Garnish, yeah. Yeah. I was just exactly. Going to say that.
All right. Then we have Morag and Vormir. So Morag is where... That's where Peter Quill gets the... Which stone was it now? The Power Stone. That's
Power
right.
Power Stone, wasn't it? Yeah.
Power Stone. And from Guardians of the Galaxy, this was back in 2014. We've got War Machine and Nebula there. Not a whole lot going on here other than the Nebula from 2014 receiving interference from the Nebula from 2019. I don't know that I like... I get that it's the Deus Ex Machina that allows Thanos to then come back at the end of the movie, but
yeah,
I don't know. Like her radio signals just accidentally picked up the other one. Like there's something about it that just kind of feels
I get that, Eric, but I also wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting that to change the way Thanos did what he did. And I'm like, oh, that was perfect. I mean, I thought it was written really well. This is a great way to do it. And I kind of get what you're saying about it being a little bit weird with her receiving signals from the future. But I took it as not so much like radio interference, but it's the same Nebula. You know, it's the same.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense on more like so a quantum
that's why she's
level.
Seeing her future. Yeah. Seeing her future visions or whatever you call it. But yeah, I thought it was well done. I thought that was a great way to bring him back and make that whole thing happen. I didn't feel cheated by it. So I was expecting to feel cheated by the way they did that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Even with my concerns, I don't feel cheated at all. It was just kind of a, like I had to take a minute and say, am I okay with it? I guess I'm okay with it. Yeah.
I loved seeing Star-Lord jamming and nobody could hear what he was dancing to.
That was good.
That's like expectation. That. Like you look like a really like badass person just dancing and like to the beat. And then reality is like, nobody can hear what you're dancing to.
Right.
And you look so ridiculous. I like that.
Yeah. So Nebula gets captured. And that's kind of the foil for how Thanos is able to get to the end of the movie. And then we have Vormir. Now, this is one of the big scenes in the movie. We've got Black Widow and Hawkeye. I kind of liked the two non-cosmic characters getting a good fight scene where, like I said before, Black Widow, like the fight scenes are just, okay, so she walks up and she hits a big bad guy with a stick, like, you know, and breaks the stick because it's a big bad alien guy. Like, what are you going to do? Yeah,
and then he flicks her with his finger, right? Pinky, and
dies. Right. Yeah. Or Hawkeye shooting an arrow at Ant-Man's ankle when Ant-Man is 60,000 feet tall or something. Like, how is that going to do anything? But to seeing the two of them fight each other had some really interesting stakes. In this case, death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that they staged the fight really, really, really well.
I thought so. At one point, I thought it was going to be Hawkeye, and then all of a sudden, like, it just switches. So, like, I really liked that. I did not know who was going to make it. But I always felt in the back of my head that she was never going to allow Hawkeye to die because of his family.
Right.
Exactly.
And I think that it was a good choice because from a narrative point of view, we do need to have... At the end of the movie, we need to have somebody's story that's not sad.
Yeah.
And even Cap's is bittersweet, but we can be happy for Hawkeye at the end of the movie. And we can be happy for Ant-Man at the end of the movie.
Right.
So we need some moments like that. So I think that they made the right choice in who to sacrifice there.
They did it really well in the fact that it didn't have that feel of some stuff that's done this kind of thing in the past where, no, I'm going to die. No, I'm going to die. I'm going to do it. They did it where
they
didn't
drag it out.
Have that, the discussion. You still knew what was going on, but you didn't feel like it was just talk. You know, it was more to it than that. And it was filmed really well.
You knew that they each knew that they weren't going to talk it out. Like they knew the talking wasn't going to work.
Right.
That was really good.
Can we all take a moment to question what that Red Skull person said when he saw Captain America go return the Soul Stone. He must have been so triggered.
Yeah.
Like, why are you here?
Oh, no, not again. They need to have like a whole little web series or something on
Captain. Was there anything ever explains to why Red Skull guy was there? Why was that where he ended up?
I don't remember.
Because that kind of bothered me. I'm like, okay, I mean, I get it, but I'm like, why is he here? Why is he the guy?
I did not get it.
I think that in Infinity War, there was a comment that he made that kind of alluded to why he might have been there, but it was a little bit vague. And it's the Soul Stone, so I'm sure it's, you know, something in regards to him being in like
but I mean, usually when there's something like that, you know, mythically, it's always somebody who is, you know, virtuous, who is protecting what it is, and it's my job to, you know, I'm thinking like, you know, the guy guarding the Holy Grail, you know, I mean, you're tasked with doing this. You're there for a reason.
And well, you've also got the boatman at the River Styx. You've got some other instances say, like, where Hades it's
and stuff yeah, like that.
Like, it's like yeah, a tortured but soul.
But why him? So, but he wasn't that bad to be. You know what I mean?
I completely get what you're saying, and I do agree with that. Why him? He was a human after all. No.
Yeah. He was,
and he was just a guy. I mean, it's like
exactly
nothing big and bad about him. I mean, he was a bad guy, but I mean, we've seen worse.
No, I know that it was done as. Because it was a recognizable character and kind of a fan service thing, I think the implication was supposed to be that this is his penance for what he did.
That's kind of how I took it too. But I'm like,
you're right. It doesn't had entirely fit.
That was just somebody there. You know, I mean, we didn't have to have a known person there,
right?
Because to me, it kind of the Red Skull kind of took me out of that moment. I'm like, okay,
yeah, I can see that. I don't know. It didn't. The fact that it was a Red Skull didn't entirely bother me, but the fact that I had to put the pieces together myself somehow kind of did. And the pieces don't fit that well together. Like it's, you're right. It doesn't entirely make sense.
I wonder if it's a throwback to comics or something like that.
Probably.
I don't know. I was really into Captain America comics for a while when I first got into comics. He was my favorite character. And then later I discovered the X-Men and then I'm like, Avengers what? So I never really got into the Red Skull era that much. I don't know.
Mm.
Maybe one of our listeners will know and they'll tell us. So they get the stones. They all come back. Well, except Nebula. We got a different Nebula and except Black Widow, and they forge a new gauntlet, and they don't really forge a new gauntlet. They just, Iron Man just kind of whips one up. The Hulk puts it on. He undoes the snap. He survives the snap. And, then that leads Thanos there. So now we have the invasion. So, we've got the moment between Nebula and Gamora where she joins the fight. Hawkeye takes the gauntlet and he's running through the underground rubble of the Avengers mansion. Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor go down to confront Thanos, who's just kind of sitting on his butt waiting for stuff to happen because, you know, it's Thanos.
Because he's cool.
Yeah, he's cool.
And he kicks their ass.
Yeah. Yeah, but, there's a pretty good fight scene there. And then Cap gets Mjolnir. Yeah, I have to say, I liked that.
That was good.
That was good.
Oh, by the way.
I liked it when they switched.
Yeah, you take the little one.
You take the little one.
Can we travel back in time for a second?
Absolutely.
Right. Okay, it says... Infinity War reveals that Red Skull was teleported to Vormir, where the Soul Stone is kept. The former villain explains to Thanos and Gamora that he's been doomed to a purgatory where he can guide those who seek the Soul Stone but never attain it himself. once Thanos claims the stone, Red Skull disappears. So there was another person discussing the fact that because there is a specific rule with the stones that if you use them in the wrong way, you will become cursed. So he, in the first Captain America movie, is in possession of something that causes him to be in a curse.
Okay. But what but about...
again, it's so far-fetched.
Yeah. See, it doesn't explain. Well, and that's not... Like, I get the references that we were just kind of talking about, the purgatory, the tortured soul thing that was implied in Infinity War, but it never really explains the whole curse of using the stones wrongly. Exactly. So having to look it up on a website... It's kind of like having to listen to random chatter to have us explain the movie to you. Like,
excuse me, don't say that as a negative.
Oh, well, that's a good point. But still, it's they should explain it in the movie if it's going to be in the movie. Plus, what about Ronan the Accuser, who misused the Power Stone in Guardians of the Galaxy? Yep. So, yeah, okay, but. Anyway, Captain America gets Mjolnir.
I hate it. I don't like it.
You don't like
it? That's just me. I don't think... Okay, Thor's a god, and he gets the hammer. Cap is not a god.
Uh-huh.
But he can still pick up the hammer.
Because it's supposed to be about worth.
But it's about who's worthy.
I get it. But I don't like it. Just me.
So if Thor gets on an elevator, and he drops the hammer... And he gets off of the elevator.
Everyone's dead.
You know, going back to the comic books, there have been a lot of people who have wielded the Infinity Gauntlet, including Santa Claus at one point, believe it or not. and there have been many people who have wielded Mjolnir. And I will not include Deadpool in this because, of course, Deadpool does everything and he breaks the fourth wall and it doesn't really count. But Captain America has wielded it before in the comic books. I believe Spider-Man did briefly at one point.
I think there's, 30? I did some research on it, and a lot of different heroes have.
There are several, yeah.
And which is fine, and I get it. It's just I don't personally like it.
Okay.
From the movie point of view. Now, if you want to tape comics and bring that in, sure. But the way that the same way as I'm talking about Hulk earlier, it was a big change. We weren't expecting it unless you're
so
armed with the comic knowledge.
You could argue if you go back to Avengers, was it Avengers 2?
Yeah, and he wiggles it.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, so, I get it.
There was some foreshadowing of it there. I understand. I disagree with you, but I understand. Like, that's fine. Your point is totally valid. I liked it, though. I thought, I think he's the only character that should have been able to pick it up. Like, you could argue maybe Peter Parker could. Just, you know, being pure of heart enough.
Oh.
Because it really, that's what it's about. It's about being completely altruistic and pure of heart. And you could argue maybe Peter could do it. But Captain America really is the only person who should be able to do it. And I liked that he did it. And I liked the choreography of the fight scene. I liked them all working together in unison and really getting into a flow and being able to take on Thanos, who then still kind of kicked their butts. But
yeah, I do love the fight scene that they had. I do really liked what Lou just said, the tossing, you know, you take the little one.
Yeah,
that was awesome. That was so, and that's the kind of humor that I was expecting from Thor from this movie, and that worked really well there.
Yeah, and so that was another sign we did get our old Thor back.
Yes,
so that was good.
And then, using the lightning and the transformation of his beard and all that kind of stuff, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. And then on your left, we get all the other characters back. When Falcon,
that was a really nice moment. I really enjoyed seeing them all come through the
portals.
The portals, yeah, it was very nice to see.
Now, for me, that that sort of moment in a movie always feels really fan servicey. So I kind of like had to try to not roll my eyes because, oh, okay, now we're going to get, you know, a shot of Black Panther and a shot of Wanda and a shot of this and a shot of that. Like, you know, we're going to go down the checklist. I love
that moment though.
But we knew it was coming. We knew it was fan service, but it didn't feel as bad as a lot of fan service stuff usually feels.
No, it was handled well, and it was very fair. Like, it worked. It was part of the storytelling, and it was appropriate. It was exactly what it should have been. I'm not dissing it. And you're right. Like, of all the movies that suck at doing it, this movie handled it really well, other than the, you know, the girl power moment thing that we already discussed. But I really liked Scarlet Witch. Like, yes. When Wanda came out, she had this look of death on her face. She's going
one-on-one with Thanos.
Like, I'm sitting there in the theater thinking, oh, shoot, I hope she doesn't come through the screen at me. Like, it was just really intense.
I loved her. Yeah.
I loved that. And I kind of wanted to see her mess him up even more. I kind of wanted to see her kill him. But
she almost did, it seemed like.
Yeah, she came the closest. So that was really satisfying to me. I liked that. So then we get to something that kind of bugs me a little bit. And I think maybe this is being unfair because it's going back to the comics and they've created a different reality here in the movies. But you've got the Infinity Gauntlet. In the comic books, the Infinity Gauntlet is a 6-issue miniseries. The heroes all fighting Thanos and the snap and all of that happens in issue 3. And then he goes on to fight like bigger things like Galactus, and not just Galactus, but Galactus teaming up with a bunch of other creatures that are all at Galactus's level, and him just basically laughing at them. And then he goes on to fight concepts like love and hate and Kronos, the god of time, and eternity, which is the embodiment of like everything that is.
Yeah.
And then he messes them up. And it just keeps going on from there. Like, it's the Infinity Gauntlet. Using it and snapping your fingers is not going to kill you because you control matter and time and energy and the mind. You literally are controlling those things. So there's no way it should hurt you, let alone kill you. So Thanos survives, Hulk survives, Iron Man does not. And the other thing during this fight, too, if you're controlling the Infinity Gauntlet, it's not that you have to literally put your middle finger against your thumb, create some friction and pressure, and then move them adjacently. Like, it's a telepathic thing. You just make a choice and it happens. You don't have to literally physically snap your fingers. So all of them trying to hold the thumb away from the other fingers seemed kind of silly to me.
But that device of the snapping of the fingers made it something you can see on screen.
I understand.
And I know you do. And I'm not trying to say you anything wrong against that. But from someone who didn't read the Infinity Gauntlet series or read the comics, it felt like it needed to be done. And, you know, the whole snapping of the fingers thing was like, especially then when the stones were gone, you're like, oh, he did something. You're like, yeah. Oh
yeah.
Oh,
no, that, no, and that was there, a good you scene, know? You know, with the stones being gone in that. Yeah. I get it. It just didn't feel right. It felt a little arbitrary for me, but I get it. But again, the whole thing, so now Tony Stark's going to die because he used the gauntlet. Well,
yeah.
If he had the stones that should have kept him alive. And they did play it up
enough that they said that the radiation was there and Hulk didn't die because he's been exposed to that same radiation in the past. And I mean, that all made sense from the movie standpoint of it. And you got to figure, I mean, you know, look at what's the box office mojo up to now for them? They over like $8 billion now. So of that, you know, $2 billion of ticket sellers, how many of those people read the comics?
14.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what I'm kind of getting at, that, you know, the people that didn't see them, it's all about the visual, all about the movies, all about the MCU.
I know.
And I agree that it should be maybe more closely tied to what was in the comics just to be consistent. But, I mean,
It would have made it a lot harder to make a movie if they tied too closely to the physics of the comics.
Oh, wait, he thought, oh, did he think it yet? No, he didn't think it yet. Okay, so get him.
Right. Yeah, I know. So anyway, we have Tony making the ultimate sacrifice there.
With what you were saying, though, like Thanos goes on to do a lot more in the comics, which they didn't do in the movies. And I kind of wanted to see him do more. You know what I mean? Like he has the power of the gauntlet. Why did he just stop there?
Well, he does make a reference back at the beginning of the movie when they go to kill him. He says the universe required correction. After that, the stones served no purpose beyond temptation. So again, it goes back to Thanos being he believes he's doing the right thing. He does not believe that he is a bad guy. He believes that he's doing what's necessary. And for him, it's not about power and wealth and all of this kind of stuff. He made the tough choice. And now he just, you know, he has a garden. His armor, he's using as a scarecrow. Like he plants.
He's saving the universe.
Yeah. So he, his mind is a hero of sorts. And so the stones at this point are just a temptation for greed and then spiraling down into never being satisfied with anything. And
the movie story, it makes sense. And I understand that from watching the movies. But from what you were just saying about the comics and how he did more with them, that makes me want to see more.
Yeah.
I do get that.
Yeah. I can understand it because the power is there. So it's like unused potential.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. No, I get it. And I agree with that. That's something that always kind of was in the back of my mind as I'm watching these movies. And it goes back to what Lou said in the fact that in making a movie, you kind of have to put some artificial restraints in there in order to make it work as a film. Yeah. Plus the runtime is the other thing too. I mean, if you really wanted to do this story up well, you'd have like a 10 movie story arc. So
right,
10 seasons, 10 episodes each.
Yeah exactly. There you go. Which works. I'd be okay with that.
I would not be complaining.
Yeah. All right, so we get to the end of the movie. We have Tony using the gauntlet, making the sacrifice,
the emotional moment. I loved the fact that Tony asks Doctor Strange if they're in the right timeline, and Doctor Strange says, I cannot tell you, because if he does, like, it will change the course of the whole entire
anymore.
And then there's just that one moment where he lifts up his finger and he lets him know that that is the right timeline, and at that moment, like, Iron Man knows what he needs to do, and I thought that was beautifully done. It was really nice.
It was. I have to give a lot of credit to the writers, because for all of the things they could have done differently and that maybe we wanted to see but we didn't, the important things, they really nailed it. Like, they got those type of moments perfect, and they got the things that are meaningful to the characters. And really, that's why we listen to stories and we watch movies and we read books. It's about the characters and what the characters are going through. The plot doesn't matter that much if we don't care about who it is moving through the plot.
Yeah.
So they did a really good job with getting those character moments in. And of course, then we have the character moment between Peter Parker and Tony Stark, and then Pepper. And then we get the montage with the funeral. By the way, some people have been wondering who that teenager is, that teenage boy in the funeral in the background. Mm-hmm. That's actually the kid from Iron Man 3.
Yep.
Same actor.
The one that helps him hide the suit.
Yep. Yeah, so that's him. We have kind of the wrap up, the denouement. We've got Valkyrie ruling over New Asgard now. Thor kind of says, yeah, well, they've already got a king.
Right.
And we've got that. We've got the Asgardians of the Galaxy, which I didn't even realize that's actually a comic book.
Oh, is it?
Really? Apparently, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I thought that they were going to do four movies of Guardians of the Galaxy, and then it was going to be Guardians of the Galaxy Thor or four. I thought that that's what they were going for.
Oh, but that would have been clever. That would have been an Eric type of pun, and everybody would have hated it.
Getting the dad jokes wherever I can, guys.
Yeah, that would have been good, though. And then the moment that really struck home for me, Cap has to go and return all of the stones. And then he does, but he doesn't come back the way that they think. He passes the mantle of Captain America and the shield on to onto Mackey, onto Falcon, who then gets the approval from Bucky. Bucky, you know, kind of nods at him like, yep, this is right.
And I really like that. I thought that was really a nice way to handle that.
Yes. Yeah, yep. I think it was too. And then we find out the Captain has spent his whole life with Peggy Carter, and they've grown old together. And
yeah, that felt great.
That so what was, happens with Peggy's daughter?
Well, see, that's...
This is where I think that the
movie... It's a different timeline.
Lost it for me, though. It's there were some time traveling in it of itself is the hardest thing for me to appreciate in movies, because there's a lot of things that you need to consider.
Just want to go back to the future. It's fine.
Officially, according to the Russo brothers, this Captain America is, so he obviously he's created a new timeline by going back and continuing on with Peggy. He comes back to visit this timeline in his old age. So he grew old with Peggy in the new timeline he created. So the Cap that we see on the bench, that's no longer his timeline. He is out of his timeline visiting this one. So okay. Peggy's daughter does not exist in the timeline where Cap and Peggy are together.
But she still exists in...
In the current timeline, presumably, yes.
Presumably.
Yeah, he finished his life with Peggy and then came back to complete the mission he was on to return. Yeah,
he hopped back into the we'll call it the prime or the primary timeline. He hopped back into the primary timeline to pass on the shield and say goodbye to everybody. I mean, keep in mind, the shield was destroyed too, and this is a new shield. So the shield is from a different timeline as well.
Right.
So.
Okay.
So I have to say, a lot of people at the end of the movie, they were emotional and they were crying and stuff because everything was so sad. For me, I will admit, I was kind of triggered by the whole Captain America thing. There's so much loss in the movie and people trying to get their families back together. And, you know, I went recently through, you know, my family, losing that whole structure and not getting it back together. And then the Captain America getting to go back and fix everything and have the life he wanted to have. And that was, that really hit me right in the gut. So, and plus, like I said, I've always had kind of a soft spot for the Captain America and Peggy Carter being perfect for each other and then getting separated by time and never being able to end up being together the way it seems like they should have been and were meant to be. And that's kind of been a running storyline through the Captain America movies. And now, after all of the self-sacrifice that Captain America has not only willingly made, but has made without any hesitation or second thought, he gets to go back and have something for himself.
Mm.
And that felt more emotionally rewarding to me than anything else from the last 10 years of movies. That really, that was really satisfying.
I think one of the reasons why I could not cry in this movie was because my best friend was sobbing right next to me and I was laughing at that. Like, my friend, like, at one point, like, she's rummaging through her purse to find her tissues and I'm just like laughing right next to her.
That is so cool. Andrea.
I don't know.
I have to say, I think part of this is my autism, but I don't outwardly emote during movies. I don't cheer. I don't clap at the end. I don't cry typically. Like, even at sporting events, I don't yell and scream like everybody else does. I sit and watch the sporting event, which feels weird. Like I'm being weird or something, but I will say that this is one of the few times, very few times, I could count on one hand and still have fingers left over, where I at the very least teared up at the end of a movie. I was not full out crying, but I was right there at the end of it with the Captain America scene.
Now, I'll say this. Now, the last two movies I think I've seen in the theaters, the Marvel and Endgame, I've had people say this, they were very annoying moviegoers, and it's like, yeah, you really want to look at them and just go, why don't you just shut up, you know? But this woman next to me, she was good for most of the movie, but a couple times, okay, so a couple times in the whole movie, the entire audience would go, you know, react to whatever was on screen.
Right.
And usually it was a quick little reaction, maybe 3-4 seconds, and then the movie theater quieted down again and watched the movie.
Yeah.
She would do it for maybe 20 seconds. And it's like, wow, really? You know, it's like, okay, we're all fans. We all see the same things. We're all reacting the same. You don't need in. Then towards the end, when everything was coming to a head and people were getting emotional, I looked over at my wife and I could see her silently sobbing. And I'm like, okay, you know, that, I can see where it's affecting people. And
did you do what Andrea did and laughed at her hysterically? No, that's always a good thing to do to your wife in a movie theater when she's crying.
And I don't really emote during movies either, but, you know, occasionally I'll tear up. And I don't think I did in this movie, but, you know, sometimes I will. But the woman next to me, she was like, oh my God. I'm like, can you just be quiet? We're all having the same reactions. You don't have to voice your emotions. I'm like, use your inside voice. You know, don't. What are you doing?
Yeah,
it's just so interesting because, like, my friend Amanda was not the only one crying. Like, you could hear the sniffles in the theater, and that's
different.
So cool can impact you in that way. But this movie, I cry during some movies. Like,
I wonder if Tim got triggered by that. Tim gets triggered. He has, I don't even know if he knows that he, like, there's a name for it, but it's called misophonia. And it's a condition where certain sounds trigger you. And for him, it's people sniffling. Like, he can't handle people sniffling.
I should do that more often.
Yeah. I don't record with him often enough to do it. And I always forget when I do, but I have to start sniffling.
Now that I know.
Yeah.
Now that we know.
And I wonder if that would have triggered him in a movie like this. I had a completely silent theater, other than there was a young kid early on in the movie who was doing some talking and stuff. And I think the parents finally like calmed him down. I mean, he was like far off in the theater somewhere.
Right.
I saw it second weekend and it was silent. And I'm starting to think, like, after hearing all of these stories, I'm thinking maybe it's good to see it on the second weekend for big movies.
Maybe,
like this.
Yeah. And to Andrew's point, I'm not saying people, you know, sniffling and crying in the movie theater.
Yeah. That's fine.
To me, okay. Her reactions were the point where, like, you know, something would happen to one of the characters and she'd be like, oh my God. And
I'm
like,
the character broke a nail. Oh my Lord.
Yeah.
Like, it's the outburst. It's not the subtleties of the sniffling, it's the outbursts of.
Yeah.
The exaggeration.
Yeah.
Too extreme.
All right. Back to the movie. There were no end credits, but there was a hammering noise at the end of the credits.
Yes, there was.
I have not gotten online yet. I haven't had the time to investigate what people are speculating this is. Is it a throwback to the hammering from the original Iron Man movie, or is it supposed to be a hint of something to come? You guys heard anything?
Iron Man clanking, kind of like a throwback, an homage to the beginning of this whole entire series.
Okay, that's how you think it's a throwback?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lou, any thoughts?
No, I haven't seen anything on it.
I think it's, I have to say it's too subtle for it to be a preview, like a tease for something. And if you look at the upcoming slate of content, there's nothing that would seem to fit. So I have to wonder, maybe
what you guys said, the hammering would be a throwback to Iron Man. I kind of agree that would be a nice homage to him, but yeah, I haven't heard anything else.
Yeah. Okay. All right. In the future of the MCU, before we wrap up, we've got a TV show coming for Loki. We've got one coming for Black Widow and Hawkeye, presumably covering, at least in part, Budapest. And mm-hmm. we have WandaVision, which we've seen some photos from them in the 50s, apparently. Not sure what's going on there. But any thoughts? You guys looking forward to any of these? That we've also, I should add, we have the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer that just came out that I assume
great.
You guys have seen, where there's some references to not only Tony Stark's passing, but also the fact that the snap caused some interdimensional rifts. So that opens up some interesting possibilities. And apparently Mysterio is from a different Earth.
Right.
So anything that's coming down the pipe from Marvel that you're super excited about? We've also got some other movies. We've got the Eternals.
So I just had a thought. Mm-hmm. So if the snap opened up these dimensional rips or tears or whatever, and Mysterio comes in, would this also explain the entrance of the X-Men? Possibly.
That's what a lot of people are speculating. That,
yeah, okay.
That and also the Fantastic Four, because of course Reed Richards was very much into interdimensional stuff.
That would be really cool.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm looking at a list here online, and there's, you know, two untitled movies scheduled for November or 2020, three untitled movies in 21, three untitled movies in 22. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I like the second untitled one.
Yeah.
The first one awesome, I'm not as it? Into, but the second one,
followed by that third one's
going to be good.
Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
No, not yet. It's not out yet. 2020. But I mean, it's the thing. We had what? How many movies did we have over the last 11 years, 10 years, 21? Was that what
the total count was? That.
So and now we're getting 9 in the next 2 years, or 2.5 years. Like, okay, we're really stepping things up a little bit.
Well, they just released all of the new release dates earlier today. I don't know if that includes what you're looking at or not, but is that also including? Sure. The existing Fox movies like New Mutants. I know they pulled the Gambit movie, so that's no longer on the list. Okay, so that's not including those. We know we're getting Guardians 3, and we know we're getting Black Widow.
Yes.
The Eternals.
Yep.
Wasn't there Black Widow, like Fred said?
Yeah, there's a Black Widow movie in addition to the Black Widow series, isn't there?
Yeah. At least that's what I assumed. I'm actually looking forward. Or is the series just
Hawkeye?
To Black Widow and Hawkeye, if that's going to be a thing. I would really love to see them a little bit more.
Yeah. I thought there's a Black Widow movie. There's also Doctor Strange 2. So we've still got other things coming down the pipe, but.
I'm excited for Loki. That's going to be a fun one.
I'm getting more excited about it. But
you know, Black Panther sequel, Black Widow movie, Doctor Strange sequel, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Shang-Chi and the Eternals.
Yeah, Shang-Chi. I don't know anything at all about that character.
And in addition, more X-Men stuff, Fantastic Four. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm curious about this stuff coming to Disney Plus streaming. There's none of it that really leaps out at me that much. Like, oh, I can't wait to see this. The Loki thing I'm getting more interested in. The Black Widow and Hawkeye. I'm going to watch it, and I'm optimistic that it'll be good and that I will enjoy it. But like, I'm not super excited about it at the moment. And the WandaVision thing, I'm curious as to what they're going to do with it story wise and where they're going to go. And so I'm confused by that one more than anything else, I think. But
yeah, that's the one I've heard the least about. So I'm not really sure.
Yeah. All right. Any closing thoughts? You guys
ready for the next stage.
You did like it, right?
Yeah, I think everyone here on the call has really enjoyed the movie. I think it's more of just, we loved it, but here's the things that we were nitpicking about only because we love it, just like we do with Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, sure, the movie has its downfalls in very small areas, but overall, the movie was fantastic, and I will watch this again and again and again.
Yeah.
Just not with Andrea.
Just not with Andrea.
Just.
She'll be off watching Lord of the Rings on her iPhone or something.
I love Lord of the Rings.
I do too. And I've rewatched that a few times, but I would rather rewatch this. I like superheroes. And I thought that this was.
Oh, I love superheroes too. I'm more invested in something like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. And that's
fair. Because of Smeagol. I can resonate with that character so much. I'm just kidding. But not kidding at the same time.
Oh, she's so evil. Yeah, I would rewatch this frequently, I think. I really appreciate how well this ended things. Was it perfect? No. Were there things I would have maybe considered doing different? You know, probably, but I didn't dwell on any of that. There wasn't really a point in this movie where like, oh, I would have done that differently. Like, we're sitting down and we're thinking about it now because we're recording a podcast. And so in thinking, yeah, I can come up with things that what if this, what if that. But while I was watching the movie, I was content with what was there. I never was sitting there thinking they should have gone in this direction instead. Mm-hmm. I was content. And I really like that this, to me, this was a fitting wrap up for book one of the Avengers. Like, we've got the end of the book. We've got the end of the story. This brings it to a close. This is great. Yeah, there's going to be stuff after this, but that's book two. That's the new Avengers. That's Falcon and Bucky and Black Panther and Captain Marvel and all that. That's not Thor and Captain America and Iron Man and Black Widow and Hawkeye. Like, that story is closed. They closed it well, and I appreciate it. So. All right.
I think it was a really good send off for that first chapter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm very grateful. I was worried that this was going to be a letdown. And if nothing else, I can say it definitely was not a letdown.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I have one more thing to say.
Gonna do it. Andrea ran out of time. Sorry. We could give her that last 30 seconds because it's a podcast and it doesn't cost us anything to do it. It's not like we have to break to commercial and go on to the next show, but we're not going to. So if you'd like to send us feedback. Okay. Go ahead, Andrea.
I already said what I needed.
You should elaborate.
Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever.
All right.
Eric hates when he records with me.
I do. It's such a pain. All right. We want to know what you think, not just of the movie. We want to hear your thoughts on the movie, too. But we want to hear your thoughts on the things we talked about and the analysis. Are there things that you feel like we got wrong? Are there things that you feel like we overlooked? Let us know. Send us an email at moviechatter@randomchatter.com. Join us in Discord. Now, we do have a Movie Chatter channel in Discord, and that is open to everyone. We do have a channel for each one of the shows on the network, and you can get to those for free by going to randomchatter.com/Discord. But I want to point out that the Movie Chatter channel is spoiler free. So if you're discussing this episode in particular, either use the spoiler commands in Discord. And if you have any questions on how to do that, contact one of the admins and we'd be happy to explain it to you. Some of the other users would explain it to you as well. But if you're going to discuss this in Discord in the Movie Chatter channel, use the spoiler tags to make sure that it's blacked out and people have to click on it to reveal the text. Or If you are a Patreon donor, even if you only donate $1 a month, in fact, most of our donors do exactly that, then there's a separate spoilers channel where you can go and discuss Avengers Endgame as well as Star Wars spoilers or any number of other things, Game of Thrones, etc. There's a whole selection of I think like we had like 51 channels recently. I haven't counted it since then. We've added some, we've removed some inactive ones, but we have a lot of very active channels that are open to all of the donors that help support the network as a show of our appreciation for the support that you give us and your help in keeping the lights on, as Tim likes to say. So once again, randomchatter.com/discord, randomchatter.com/patreon. We would love you to join the conversation with us. You can also converse with us on social media. Well, everybody except me. I'm mainly on Discord, but you can find us at other places too. We have an Instagram account and a Twitter account. Both of those are Random Chatter. You can find me on Twitter, though I probably won't find you back. But I'm on Twitter at Eric Blythe. That's ERIKBLYTHE. Lou, where can we find you on Twitter?
Oh, you can find me at Lou Skywalker. That's Skywalker without the E.
And on Instagram?
You can find me at my name, Lou Secchi, or at 6-inch hero.
All right. Fred, where can we find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at Freddy Wan Kenobi. That's FREDDYWON Kenobi.
All right. And Andrea?
You can find me on Twitter at KatzBears. That's KatzBears.
All right. And for all you Americans out there who want to know what Zed is, just let me know and I'll explain it to you. It's very complicated. So you can also find Fred and Andrea on various other shows on the network. You can find them on The Outer Rim, on The Tight Beam, and on Caped Chronicles. And you can find all of those as well as more shows over at randomchatter.com. The music you hear in this podcast is Secret Agent Business by Blue Stolly. And as silly as the sentence sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. So that's going to be it for this episode of Movie Chatter. As I said at the beginning of the show, we are going to be continuing the podcast. So stay tuned for more. Take care and keep the chatter going.